When the trumpet of the Lord shall sound and time shall be no more, and the morning breaks eternal bright and fair, the saved of earth shall gather over on the other shore, when the roll is called up yonder.
We now present the Lord's Challenge, our weekly quarter-hour broadcast, bringing God's invitation to people everywhere. This is an international broadcasting ministry which is being used of God to bring blessing to many people. Joshua Daniel, who will be speaking in a moment, urges you to stay tuned and listen to the Lord's challenge and to reach out and touch the loving Savior.
We shall turn to 2 Chronicles, 15th chapter. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa, and said unto him, Hear you me, King Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you, but if you forsake him, he will forsake you. King Asa was encouraged by the prophet's message. He removed the idols and abominable idols out of the land, and he renewed the altar of the Lord. You see, my friends, it takes some doing to renew the altar of the Lord. You can see people married to each other for years, but they just don't seem to agree in prayer. Why? What's wrong? They'd say, we have no time to pray together. No, there is no altar. There is no glory for God there. The Lord is not there. That's the point. If the Lord is there, there would be an altar of prayer. If the Lord is not there, there won't be an altar of prayer. There wouldn't be time for prayer. There would be time for TV, time for relaxation, time for camping, and everything else. But there would be no altar. Now, we want revival, we want a country to rise, but we don't seem to think that rebuilding the altar is necessary at all. We must go on with our hackneyed prayers. All right, some of them are well-framed petitions in the liturgy and so on. And of course, they can be very meaningful if your heart goes into those prayers. Some people pray prayers which they don't even understand. It's so sad. What is the priest praying? Do you know it? Do you follow it? No, I don't know Latin, so I can't follow that prayer. I don't know Syriac, so I can't follow that prayer. Why? Is God confined to some language? There is no altar there. That's the problem. And all these people are going through the motions, standing there, apparently very reverentially. No, friends, there should be a way by which, wherever we go, wherever we meet, there should be an altar for the Lord. You know, it's pretty easy to have Bible clubs. People seem to enjoy coming to Bible studies and so on. But you say, it's a prayer meeting. People say, oh, I have no time. Prayer meeting. They don't know how to breathe. That's the problem. TB of the lungs, spiritual lungs. So, to get together a few people for prayer is so difficult. Why? What's wrong? It's not so convenient. It's not this. I've got children. I've got this. I've got that. But all those things don't seem to interfere with your entertainments. So, folks, what was the upshot of this? He removed the abominable idols. And 12th verse, and they entered into a covenant to seek the Lord, God of their fathers, with all their heart and with all their soul. And after a time, these words become mere phrases. With all their heart and with all their soul. Can you tell me when you prayed with all your heart, all your soul last? Can you tell me what it is that made you pray and covenant with God to pray and to seek Him with all your heart? You know, even our retreats can become pretty nominal. If we reduce our religion to just empty phrases, my soul is cast upon the Lord. And when I go to any place, I tell the Lord, Lord, unless you go before me, there's absolutely no point in my going there. Unless you work. You see, it should be the Lord working. And that should never be confined to just the place of worship. It should be carried through into the week of work. If the quality which we derive from our prayer life is not taken to the workplace. You know, friends, I was checking out of the University Hospital of Michigan. I had gone in for an emergency when a lot of fluid was collecting. And so we pulled into the emergency and they checked me in for 2 days to treat me. And I was being wheeled out to the car and the young nurse, a young man, began to say, I've been here many years, but I've never seen a patient draw the hearts of so many people until they began to give such close attention to you. And what is it? How is it? Well, did I do something extraordinary? No, I did nothing extraordinary. I was just conscious of the Lord, not just conscious of my sickness or my frailty or no complaining, nothing. Friends, there is a quality that you take with you wherever you go. And that quality impacts people. It should impact people. Now, what happened was, you know, when so many people began to come to Asa from Israel, somehow, Asa could not extend these reforms to such a lot of people. So, in the 16th and 17th verses, and also concerning Maacah, the mother of Asa, the king, he removed her from being queen because she had made an idol in a grove. And Asa cut her idol down and stamped it and burnt it at the brook Kidron. You know how sentimental people are. I have found this, and it has been one of the sad discoveries in my life. When it comes to the crunch, you know how people react? They don't react for the truth. They'd react sentimentally. Oh, this is my own person. This is my own family. No, God's name should be glorified. Is God's name glorified? No, I have always stood with the truth. Okay, am I perfect? No, I am not. So a little boy comes and tells me, some evident fault which he sees in me. Should I not take it? Why not? I'm not perfect, but I want to improve. So one of you comes to me and says, something which will greatly benefit me if I humble myself and obey it. Should I not take it? What is the big deal in that? I don't see any big deal in that. Just love for the truth. Love for the truth should exceed our friendships, our relationships, our sentimental frame of mind. Love for the truth. Loyalty to Jesus. So, as I see it, you know, the world appears in small little tribal groups to me. And so I say to people, okay, you're not mountain tribes anymore, but all I see is a tribal pattern of thinking in you. You can only think of your tribe. You can only think of your family. You can only think of, you know, protecting or safeguarding the reputation of your little circle. You're not thinking of the honor and glory of God. That means we're not Christians. If I am a Christian, my loyalty is to the Lord Jesus. You can't help but be international. You love everybody, that's all. You can't help it. You go to Africa, you fall in love with the people. Wherever I go, I just love the people. And I want to serve them. And the Spirit of God came upon Azariah, the son of Oded, and he went out to meet Asa and said unto him, hear you me, King Asa, and all Judah and Benjamin, the Lord is with you while you be with him. And if you seek him, he will be found of you. But if you forsake him, he will forsake you. Let us pray. Forgive us, Lord, forgive us. Let not sin, let not vanity, let not pride dominate in our personalities. Oh God, save us, we pray you, at a time when we do not even know the harvest of misery that Harry Potter's books alone have generated. Father, save us. We ask this in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Amen.
The speaker on this program was Joshua Daniel. He would like to know what your response has been to the Lord's challenge and would like to hear from you. You can contact us by phone on 0411 037 296 or mail us The Lord's Challenge, P.O. Box 1072, Armidale, Western Australia, 6992. Our website is lefi.org. Again, our phone number is 0411 037 296. Please plan to join us next week at the same time. As we are continually reaching out to millions in many countries, we appreciate and need your continual prayerful support.